Am I recording right now?
Just give it the old college try right here.
Oh, big dog's in.
Schmitty! What do you think, Schmitty?
Talking Schmidt.
He's so fucking busy.
Shit my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
Are you ready?
Come on, Schmidt.
Let's hear it for Greg Smith. Yeah!
Hello, this is Schmitty, and we're coming to you from Pacifica, California. We're in the man cave of my next guest. He's from the small town of Machias, Maine. Father of two, husband of one, and the CEO of the popular skateboard zine Low Card. Welcome to the show, my bro, Mr. Robert Edward Collinson.
What's up? Good morning.
Thanks for doing this again. We had a little technical difficulty. That seems to be the trend with these so far, so we're doing a part two. I did an interview with Rob like 2 weeks ago and the SD card malfunctioned, so here we go again.
Yeah, no problem, no worries. I'm not afraid to answer some questions again. It's all good.
All right, we're gonna start with the beginning. You grew up in Maine and a small town in Machias. What was that like?
It was cool. I mean, I didn't like it then, you know, just because it was a small town. There wasn't much to do. But in retrospect, I had a lot of freedom. Like, could just go out for the whole day, not really answer to my, you know, dad or anything, and just go do my own thing and come home and for dinner, and that was about it. But, you know, I definitely thought it was a little boring, but, you know, we rode bikes and whatever, did whatever you do in a small town, you know.
How long were you there till?
I left there in 1992.
So how old were you in 92? Like,
I was 18. I left when I was 18.
So was there a time where you were kind of California dreaming, like fantasizing about a bigger place than where you were?
Yeah, like definitely when I started skating, and just like started looking at all them skate mags and getting videos and stuff like that. Like, I was always like California dreaming for sure. It was so far though, that, like, it just didn't seem like it could be a reality, you know.
True or false, you ran into Stephen King at a movie once?
Yeah. One time I was at the movies with my father, and right in front of us in line was Stephen King, and it was funny, he had a couple bodyguards or whatever with him, and yeah, it was a trip. He was just sitting there in front of us, like, I think we were in the candy line to get candy or something, and he was right in front of us.
Do you remember that movie you were?
I think it might have been Night Shift. I think we were seeing a Stephen King movie.
Oh, sick.
But I don't know if he was going to that movie too or a different one. But I saw him at the concession stand.
Do you got a favorite Stephen King book or movie?
Pet Sematary is my favorite movie. I've read some books, but I'm not a huge time
I like
novel
The Shining.
Reader. Oh, yeah. The Shining was really, really good. Yeah. I mean, that's a... Yeah,
I mean, there's a
total
bunch.
Classic.
Carrie, It, The Stand.
Yeah, Carrie. I really like Christine. Was that Stephen King?
I think so.
Yeah. But yeah, all those classics, that they're all really good. Like Pet Sematary, actually not a couple of years ago, Ray and I and the kids went by the house where they filmed it out.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, it's like probably like 40 minutes from my house.
Oh, rad.
And then did Stephen King do Tales from the Crypt?
I don't know. I don't think so.
But there's a one scene where like there's a hitchhiker and he's on the side of the road and it's an exit and he gets hit. We used to take that exit all the time and he's like, "Thanks for the ride, lady."
that's in Maine.
Yeah, that's in Maine. So every time we take the exit, we'd be like, "Thanks for the ride, lady." You know, it's just funny because like there's a lot of like because Maine. So I mean, it's big, but like it's small. And then like when things are film places, everybody kind of knows, you know?
For sure. Who else would people know that are from Maine?
Shit.
Stephen King, like, the most famous from there, maybe?
Yeah, Stephen, he's got to be. There's probably some other ones, but, like, I'm really bad at being Johnny on the spot. I can never really I have a hard time remembering things like that.
Yeah. Huh. Maybe number two would be Dan Drobel. We don't know.
Or Rob Welsh.
Or Joey Pepper.
Or Joey Pepper.
Pepper. So early on, how'd you get into skateboarding then out there?
So like, I want to say when I was like 5 years old, my father brought us home three Black Knight skateboards. Or he didn't bring us home. They were under the tree for Christmas. They had clay wheels. And then I was really stoked on it. then for a little bit, but then, you know, to mess around with it for probably a year and then just kind of like, you know, threw it in the closet or whatever. And then it wasn't until I was like probably like 10 or 11 when I don't know what clicked or what got into my head, but I really like started to take notice of skateboarding when I'd see it in like Juicy Fruit commercials or whatever on TV. And it started to catch my interest for some reason. And then I saw some of the older guys riding boards down the street one day, and it really like caught my attention. And then that summer I went to New York, and then I found like a plastic skateboard somewhere, and then my cousin gave me a plastic skateboard, so I had like two plastic skateboards that I was just skating around and having, you know, whatever.
Was it urethane wheels or no?
They were urethane, like, but with the ball bearings, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I brought home two plastic skateboards, but then I got home, one of my best friends like had like a Veriflex, a big Veriflex with a big urethane wheels, and you know, we back then we'd call it the, you know, oh, you got a California board, you know.
That's
and,
that one
no that so the striker, oh, striker is yeah so that was so after I saw his board, my birthday was in November, so I was like, Dad, I want to get a California board for Christmas. I didn't know of brands or anything like that, so my dad had my aunt in New York pick me up one probably at, you know, at a department store, and it was a Striker Veriflex.
Oh
yeah. And then I want to say like 2 weeks later, my brother jumped off the top of the couch with it and landed with his feet and both his feet in the middle of the board and broke it right in half.
No way.
And then I remember being so bummed that my dad was like, he was like, you need to fix that, to my brother, and he's like, you need to fix that, blah blah blah. And so like whatever, I went out and probably came home later that day, and like he had like pushed it back together, you know, back together, and put a 2x4 on the bottom of it.
Oh,
and bolted a 2x4 on each side, you know, on each side, and not on top, just on the bottom.
Yeah.
But but then I skated it bolted together with a 2x4 for until Christmas.
How rad!
Yeah, then I got a Volterra.
And describe that skate park that, or the so-called skate park that's out there.
Yeah, well, so when I was growing up, we had nothing. But after I left, they decided to donate a black pavement lot. It's not even that big. It's just a fucking black pavement lot with nothing on it. And there's a sign that says Machias Skate Park.
Wow.
Yeah.
That park with that board you described earlier would be the photo, like with the 2x4 on the board. That's like, welcome to Maine.
Welcome to Machias, Maine.
Do you think that might be the most northern skate park in the 48 states?
Maybe. I wouldn't even call it a skate park, but but maybe.
Certified piece of suck.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if – I can't remember if like Calais or Lubeck or any of those like ones right on the Canadian border have a park or not.
Okay.
If they did, it'd be a little shitty like prefab park, you know?
Uh-huh. So then you moved out to San Francisco in
93. So when I left in 92, I helped my friend move to Indiana. He was his parents were moving there, and then he needed to drive the car out, so we kind of made a skate trip out of it. We my friend Nate, we stopped in New York City and skated, and we skated some other stuff on the way out there, and then I stayed there for like 8 months, and I was out there, and my ultimate goal was to come out to California, but I had, you know, I was out of money, you know, like I didn't have that much money. We left Maine, and then like between like Maine and Indiana, like just hanging out and skating and stuff, I spent a lot of it. But anyways, I ended up like getting a job washing dishes at a diner, and then also working at a Pizza Hut, and then we lived in this place. It was like we lived in an SRO. I didn't even know what SRO was back then. I only know now from here, but you know, single room occupancy. And then my buddy, another one of my buddies, Jason Duthaker, moved out, and we lived in this fucking shithole. It was super sketchy. There's all these sketchy people in there. Like there's this dude that always have seizures in the bathroom. You know, you'd fucking share this bathroom with a bunch of people, and this dude would always have seizures in there. Mm. It was just this. And I remember sometimes we wouldn't want to walk through the building, so we were on the bottom floor, so we'd just jump out the front window just so we didn't have to deal with the other people in the building. Whoa. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Where was that?
Yeah, that was in Valparaiso, Indiana.
Valparaiso. But that by Gary?
Yeah, it's pretty close to Gary. And the saving grace to staying there for was Chicago. We used to go to Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the Cure there. I saw Danzig. Matt Hensley worked at Session Skate Shop back then.
No way.
Yeah, I saw Matt Hensley there.
Sick.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it wasn't that cool living there, but
you got to trick yourself somehow.
Yeah. And so then from there, I went back to Maine, raked blueberries. From there, I went to San Diego, stayed in San Diego for a month, with Laban. And then from there, I went all the way back to Maine, raked blueberries. And then my buddy Jay Marsh in Indiana was like, stay with me. We will work at a golf course and, stay with my parents and just save money and move to SF.
In Indiana or San Diego?
In Indiana.
Okay.
So
you went Indiana SD back to Indiana?
Back to Maine.
Back to Maine. Then back to
Indiana. Because my buddy was like, I got you a job on the golf course I work at, and we'll just do that for like a month or two and then save enough money to move out, you know, Jay Marsh. So
rad. And how did you meet Laban?
So Laban, I was a kid, Laban moved to my town. Well, he moved to East Machias with his mom and brother.
Oh, in your town.
Yeah. And it was funny because he didn't even really skate back then. And then we started like just hanging out, and then he started skating. I guess he came all the way, he came from California and moved there with his mom. But he said he had a board out in California, but didn't really skate and kind of whatever. And then like when he came to Maine is when he really got into skating.
Huh.
Which was cool. He had a barn, and we made all these ramps in the barn.
Sick.
Yeah, it was pretty rad. He only lived there for like 3 years, though, I think.
Uh huh. And then when you moved to San Francisco, was the Octavia place your first place?
Yeah. So Laban lived on Oak, and we stayed with him for a few weeks, and then the first apartment we got was on 331 Octavia, yeah.
And how many fools did you have living in there?
Well, at first it was just me, Jay Marsh, and then Chris Whitaker. But then like at the peak, like I think in the summer when we had people like all our friends out there visiting, and at the peak at one time we had 14 people in a one bedroom apartment.
Wow.
Yeah, it was horrible. People were sleeping in like the hallway on the kitchen floor. It was insane.
How many girls were visiting in those days?
I think there actually was a couple girls staying there too.
Was there?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Like dudes came out with their girlfriends and shit like that. Like there's definitely a few girls in and out of there for sure.
Damn.
Yeah.
And rough. Then you've lived in a lot of places, but eventually you moved into Athens with Drehobel and Upson.
Yeah. So between Octavia and living with Drehobel, I lived in a bunch of places. But yeah, then I moved in with Drehobel on 14 the Guerrero.
All right.
Him, Matt O'Brien, Pales. I think Pales was still there when I moved in. There was an owner moving there. Then it was cool because I knew a lady who had his house for rent. So so we moved out to this Persia in Athens. And then that was when Upson and the Butcher.
Yeah.
Booznitz lived there for a bit.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
When he first came out, huh?
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was a good time.
Who was the best roommate out of all those guys? Drehobel, Booznitz, Butcher, or Upson?
Definitely not Drehobel.
Who was the
dude
best?
Dude, like, fucking light himself on fire and shit. Dude, that guy was a mess.
So Drehobel worst?
Worst roommate, Drehobel. Okay. No, but he was the one paying. Did I pay the rent? No, I paid the rent, I think, but he was like semi-responsible. He wasn't the worst, I don't think. I don't know. Maybe he was. I don't know. At times. I think people took that I might have been the worst roommate. Who knows? But the best would be like either Booznitz or Butcher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Diego was like, he wasn't really partying. He was like coming here to conquer San Francisco.
Yeah. He was,
everybody else was like partying their ass off.
Yeah. Butcher was super serious and definitely would not be partying with us.
Butcher.
Yeah.
He came from Buenos Aires to backside 180 Wallenberg and then kickflip back tail hubba.
Yeah.
And then.
I want to say Booznitz lost his innocence at that house a little bit.
Oh,
He was partying and stuff, you know?
Yeah. That is. I like it. How did Low Card evolve? Like, that was after Athens.
Yeah. So that was when I had moved with a girlfriend or whatever. And then. it was like 2003, and I just had, and I've always like taken photos forever. So I just had, but never cared enough to take really, really good photos. Just like whatever, you know, it wasn't that serious. I mean, I got a semi-serious, but like, you know, I wasn't trying to be a professional photographer or anything.
Yeah.
But like I would, on the missions, I'd always try to take photos and stuff. My father always pushed me to take photos. But 2003, I had a bunch of photos, and I was like, fuck, I should start a zine, because I had done a couple before throughout the years. But I was like, man, I should do a zine. I got all these photos. And then, like, I was – at the time, I was buying this card called High Card, and it was to – you scratch, and your card – you're supposed to have the high card to beat the dealer, and I'd always lose. And I was like, God damn it, they should just call this thing Low Card.
Right.
And then on the actual first issue of Low Card, the zine, there's a pit. I think there's a cutout, one of those cards on it.
Sick.
Okay. Yeah, one of those lotto cards. But anyways, but yeah, so then a light bulb went off over my head. I was just like, it's like, perfect. I want to start a zine. That's a perfect name for it. Low Card. That's fucking great.
And who was on the first cover?
It was Benny, just passed out empty case of beer on his head.
And that was at the Athens house, right?
I think that was
like on the couch.
It might have been at Athens. It might have been when I was visiting him in Connecticut. I can't remember.
Okay. Then that was, what year was the Low Card? Did you guys do the first?
2003. Yeah.
And what number are you on now?
We're 66.
66. So yeah. We're 16 years of Low Card?
2003. Yeah, 16. Yeah,
sick.
Yeah, you know, Prince pretty rugged, so we try to have 6 issues a year, but sometimes it just doesn't pan out that way, just because of there's a lot of if you ever try doing a magazine, it's a lot of things that come up.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Definitely.
You know, the new issue just came out, so we're super stoked, and I think we're on a better track this year. We got a new printer and things are looking good.
Yeah, what year was it that you guys transferred from kind of your traditional zine to more of an upscale paper and all that?
I think that was 2006.
2006.
Yeah.
It was issue 10 or
11. Yeah, 10 or 11. Right. I remember, and it was in the first cover was, glossy cover was Pablo.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Pablo's the shit.
I think Ken Godo shot it. But anyways, yeah, so it worked out really well because, you know, I started Low Card on my own, and then my girlfriend at the time, who's my wife now, but she her sister worked at a print place. So she got us all these backdoor deals on printing, which was awesome. And then, like, we looked at, you know, we talked to her about, hey, what if we went glossy? And it was totally doable. So that's why we decided to go glossy.
And I remember that period. Talk a little bit about that period. You did get a little negative feedback from some of your loyal Low Carders, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Because they're like, this is too nice to be Low Card.
Yeah. How sick is that? Like, too nice. You're making it too good.
Yeah, you're making it too good now.
That rules. And then how many years did you have the worst skater of the year?
Shit. I want to say 3 or 4.
Like, the first one was it Drobel?
If it wasn't, it should have been. But
or maybe it was Pencil.
It might have been Pencil. I know I want to say it was Drohol. There was Drohol probably got it 1 year. Pencil. I know Fred Gall got it 1 year.
All right.
That might be it. I can't remember.
And then you stopped doing it?
Yeah. It's just like one of those things. Like, it's funny for a little bit, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we should bring it back.
Did,
I don't know.
Did feelings get hurt?
No, I don't know if feelings got hurt, but we should hurt some.
Yeah.
We should hurt some feelings. Maybe we'll bring it back this year.
Okay.
Maybe we'll start the voting now.
I like it. I like it. I don't even know who would get it nowadays.
I don't know.
And so in that period, you decided to dive into the EMT world and fire department and all that stuff, yeah?
Yeah, you know, you get old. You start to get older and you're trying to figure out what you want to do, you know. What you want to do for a living. And so, you know, I can't just fucking work coffee shops and shit my whole life. But yeah, so I took my EMT. I took my EMT actually before I started Low Card.
Oh.
Yeah. It was like, I took my EMT in 2001. I was in EMT class when the World Trade Center thing hit.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then I remember class was canceled that day. And then it was just like weird vibe. Like, everyone was talking, you know, when we came back in for class.
Right.
But yeah, and then I got a job in private ambulance. And then I got a job with San Francisco, started this whole ambulance division for the fire department. I got on there. And then from there, yeah, about 5 years ago, close to 5 years ago, I got moved over to firefighter.
Sick.
Yeah.
How rugged is that physical test?
I don't know. It's all right. It's not
too bad.
Don't
you have to put like, I don't know, 50-pound thing on your body and like climb stairs and
you do like a weight vest. Well, right. that's the CPAP or whatever. You put a vest on and then you do the Stairmaster for X amount of times without touching the sides, and then I can't remember, crawl through a tunnel thing, and
did you definitely have to train for it, or were you in good enough shape to do it?
I was barely in good enough shape to do it.
Really?
I've gotten in better shape over the years, but
can you talk about one of the gnarliest things you've ever seen on the job?
I don't know if I'm going to talk about anything specific, but I mean, if you just think about San Francisco and the crazy stuff that goes down here, like you could just imagine like some of the stuff you might see, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if I wanted to talk about any specific events.
Is that against the rules?
It might be a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. We don't want to get you into trouble. What's the gnarliest slam you've taken?
Shit. I don't know. I don't know.
Was it mountain bike or skateboarding or?
I don't know. I know when Thrasher had that vert ramp, I hung up and tried to roll in and hung up at the top and then went all the bottom. And I was with Drehobel and Upson on that one.
Oh, at Jake's ramp?
Yeah, Jake's ramp. And then got temporary amnesia.
Fuck.
I didn't know where I was. I don't think I didn't know my name and shit.
Whoa.
Yeah. I didn't know where I was. It was crazy. Yeah. The one where I was on my mountain bike and I was fucking going way too fast, but I hit a couple water bars and both my tires blew out. And then like I went over the handlebars and rolled down this dirt road for a while, like head over heels over down this dirt road, and then split my knee open to the bone. That one hurt pretty bad.
Have you broken any bones?
When I was 4, I fell into my basement and broke my arm in half.
Just through like a trap door or something?
No, so there was a place where we'd hang our like gloves and mittens, you know, to dry.
Yeah.
And I was just hanging on it. It was just like a yarn. It was just like a piece of string. Right. I was 4 years old and I was just hanging on it above the stairs. And then I remember my father being like, I wouldn't hang on that if I was you, man. That thing might snap. And then literally right after he said that, it just snaps. And I fucking fall into the basement and roll down the stairs into the basement.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And then I broke my radius and all that. My father said it looked like I had 2 elbows.
Oh. Since we're talking about slams and all that stuff, we gotta tell the story how you got nicknamed Magnet Head.
I actually just hit my head yesterday, but that was Jehovah's deal. Like when I was in 8th grade, like my buddy moved from my town to Jehovah's town, and then I went there to stay for the summer. And then my buddy became good friends with Drehobel or whatever. And then we all started, when I got there, we all hung out and skated and stuff. But one time we were at a rock quarry and Drehobel, I guess the day before, had broken a kid's toe with a rock. It was actually right when I got to my friend's house. That's right. Cause I got to my friend's house and then the day before I had gotten there, Drehobel broke a kid's toe with a rock somehow. This dude, Felix. And then at the end of the day, we went to this rock quarry to go swimming. And then like my buddy and I, for some reason, were on the one side of the rock quarry and Drehobel was on the other. And then all of a sudden Drehobel, for no reason, just starts throwing rocks across the rock quarry and be like, I'm going to break your toe. I'm going to break your toe. Rocks are just like flying through the woods and we're like, whatever, whatever. And then all of a sudden, well, bam, one hits me in the head. And I fall to the ground and I get up and everyone thought I was fucking around. And I took my hand off my head and just blood starts running down my face, you know.
Whoa.
And then Drehobel rushes over and my buddy's like, good job, you fucking asshole. And da 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 just starts ripping on Drehobel. And Drehobel was like, fuck you guys. And I was in 8th grade. So it was my buddy and Drehobel had his license because he's a couple of years older. But he's like, fuck you guys. He jumps in his car and leaves us at this rock quarry.
I'm
out of here. Fuck you guys. But so like, fuck. So now I got my head split open. Fucking, we're down like 2 or 3 miles down this road, and I just take my sock and put it on my head to stop the bleeding. And then we just walk out and find a payphone eventually. And then his mom came and got us and brought me to the hospital. I got some stitches.
Dan's mom?
No, my buddy's mom.
Oh, your buddy's mom.
And then it was funny. Drehobel came over the next day to try to hang out with us. And my friend's mom just like totally was like, you're banned from hanging out with these guys. Bah, 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 bah. Just started ripping on him.
Oh, my God. So then how did Magnet Head evolve?
So that was the first time. And then, like, and then I came out here and then hanging out. And Jehovah somehow hit me in the head with a wheel one time. Fucking, I guess, a few times skating, I slammed my head pretty good. And then he's like, we're just going to start calling you Magnet Head. And so Jehovah gave me the name Magnet Head.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, that was Jehovah's doing.
Wow. Yeah. Do you remember the first time you met Dan?
Yeah, it was when I got off the Greyhound bus when I was fucking, I took the bus from my area to his town. He lived about 4 hours away from
Portland?
Me. Brunswick.
Oh, Brunswick, yeah.
I lived in Machias, which is way up the coast by Canada, and he's kind of more by Portland.
Uh-huh.
But so I took the bus. I got off the bus, and him and my buddy Abe were waiting for me. And yeah, and that was the first time I met
him. And you didn't even know him?
I didn't know him.
And how old were you around then?
I was like 13.
Was Jehovah already ripping at that stage?
Yeah. I don't want to talk too good about Jehovah. But, dude, I had never seen anyone actually skate like that. I was like, holy fuck, this guy is fucking. And it was funny because same thing back then, though. Like, he'd be fucking destroying it. And then he'd just, like, slam so fucking crazy and just start screaming at the top of his lungs. Yeah, just, like, freaking out, throwing his board. Like, it's never changed, dude.
That rules. Getting back to the low card a little bit, skipped over a few things. One being that I probably shot two of the best covers you guys have ever had, issue 5 and 6.
Yeah, Navarette and
Navarette and Eric J.
Oh, Eric J. Yeah,
the rolling in that indoor pool.
Yes.
Actually, while we're on that subject, McKenny really wants the issue with him in it. He's back on the scene. He's officially stopped fishing, and he's officially skating every day.
Nice.
And he's gonna be on the show next week, so people should definitely tune in.
Yeah, I gotta get a hold of him.
He's hyped on getting any of the old stuff. I told him you probably had it.
I'm sure I do. I think he lives kind of close to here. Yeah,
yeah, he's in Pacifica.
Oh, he is. Yeah, I'll swoop him up and take him on some skate missions.
Oh yeah, he'd be hyped. What's the deal with Rob Stock?
So fuck, back in 2002 my father passed away, but then right after I started low card, and then like my brothers kind of went and dealt with him, him being dead and whatever. And then I didn't get out there until that summer. And then I went out there, and then I was like, I don't even know how it happened, but I was like, I think Hightower's on tour. I can't remember what sparked it, but I was like, people were like, oh yeah, we'll come up and visit and swim or whatever. And I was like, fuck it, I'll build a ramp. And I don't even know how I came up with the money for the ramp or anything, but I built this ramp. And then like somehow Hightower was coming, so I think they might have talked to Damasic and some other band, and like, and then the guys from Rochester. I can't remember even how that all happened, honestly. Like, but somehow like bands came, and then it just ended up being an awesome party and just kind of snowballed from there. I think we did it for like 6 years.
Can we? What's up, Bowie? I need to show you something. Can we wait like 20 minutes and then we'll be ready?
Hold on.
We got a little interruption from Rob's daughter, Bowie, but we'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
Yeah. It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Check out lowcardmag.com. Leave in the comments, Magnet Head sent me, and I'll throw you in some free stuff.
This is Tim McKenney, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
All right, where are we at? We're at
Rob Stock.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, I did the first one, and then bands came, and then like...
What bands was it? Hightower and Damasic?
Damasic, and then the guys from Rochester always come up, like Taylor and the crew.
Uh-huh.
But they've changed band names a few times, so.
And the tower was there, right, or no?
Hightower?
Yeah.
They were the initial kind of the initial band that committed to coming up there.
Okay.
So yeah, and then start, I guess, 2003, and then did it for like six. I want to say we did six of them, and then like the last one, it was super
blowout city,
blowout, and just like it was downpouring the last day, and then like. And then, like, everybody left their shit everywhere and just took off. And it was just, I was just like over it after that point. And then a week or two later, I got phone calls from the Game Warden and state troopers about tents being out, because behind my house is like Game Warden Preserve, and like people left their tents out there. And then they're like, if this happened, they're just saying I'm going to get fined super heavy if that happened again. And
yeah.
I was just over it. I just needed a break. So I took a break, and then Rhea talked me into doing it again like 2 years ago. And then, and that one was super successful and fun. And then we did it last year. And then we're doing it again this year, first weekend of August.
Has anyone ever found their significant other at Robstock?
I want to say yes.
I want to say yes, too.
I want to say there's definitely been some babies made because of my party. Well, I mean, like, people have met there and then, like, later, like, had a kid or whatever.
What's that thing called when you when the girl walks home in the morning after she hooked up with a guy?
Oh, the walk of shame?
The walk of shame. How many walk of shames out of the tent at Robstock?
That's a quick scurry. That's a quick scurry from that person's tent to their own tent.
So I work at Thrasher, and I've seen like the NorCal, SoCal between Trans World. There's beef and stuff in the magazine game. And I'm wondering, like, does Lokard have anything going like that where it's like that zine, fuck that zine, or like whatever?
No, I think all zines and magazines, like, hey, if you know, I think it's great if you can make. I know how difficult print is, and it's kind of a lost art. And I think if you're doing it, that's awesome. And and I have no beef with anybody, but people have beef with me for sure.
Have you get like the internet trolls coming at you?
Oh yeah, I got like, you know, the Instagram tough guys like Zach Hudson, like like calling me names over, you know, even though he has my phone number and he could just like call me up and like, you know, like tell me to my face, but he'd rather just do it through Instagram because, you know, it's super. He's super tough that way.
I don't understand that. I don't understand.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, yeah. I think it's funny. It's like if I don't like something, I just don't pay attention to it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like, people can do what the hell they want. It doesn't matter to me. People just have too much time on their hands and don't have enough to do with their lives. I guess they just gotta.
Yeah.
They gotta hate on other stuff.
The bitter harvest comes out on the social media world.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
It's like, God damn it, I never was as good as I thought I was going to be, so I want to attack everyone else that's better than me or some. It's the crazy.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, when I was a kid, like, you know, especially, I was way away from any bullshit, any, like, industry bullshit or whatever, and then, so I just got all the magazines, I didn't care. I got Power Edge, Thrasher, Trans World.
Yeah.
Club Homeboy.
Yeah. No, Navarette tells me all the time. He's like, I know you work at Thrasher, but I love skateboarding, so I love all the mags.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah.
We got to get to the token name drop question, which would be, in this case, who's the most famous person that you've ever come in contact with or seen wearing a Lokard logo, like a shirt or something?
I actually have a magazine right over there, People Magazine, with Sean Penn walking with his kid in People Magazine. His kid's wearing a Lokard shirt.
Yes. How rad.
His
kid skates, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that picture's got to be at least 10 years old. So his kid's probably an adult now. But it's a picture with like Sean Penn with his arm around him, and he's got the old Lokard logo shirt that has a big two of clubs on it with Lokard over
in
the top.
In People Magazine.
Yeah.
I've seen Sean Penn and his kid at Slim's before, like at Turbo Negro or something.
Oh, nice.
I've seen him at a show there. All right. This is a first for us here at Talkin' Schmidt. We got some phone calls today. So we're going to go to the phone lines for a second.
Hey there, Rob. It's Cranny, Sauce Man. Quick question while you're talking some Schmidt. Let's see. Being from rural Maine, and I was just there for Robstock a few years ago, what was your most Deliverance-esque moment growing up in the sticks of Maine? Because I couldn't believe how fucking sketchy, weird it got out there, period. I love it, though. So, go ahead. Hit me with some funny shit.
Deliverance? Shit, man. Just growing up, like, I was probably the one of the darkest skinned people in my area. So like, I've been called like gook. I've been called all kinds of shit. And like, people like definitely like try to corner me and trying to fight me and stuff for, about stupid shit. But I don't know. I don't know if there's ever been like deliverance. Oh man. I did go down a river with my buddies one time. We got dropped off at the top, and then it rained the whole time. And then we flipped the boat, and we didn't run into anybody trying to ass rape us or anything, luckily. But
hey, but that's a great question, Cranny, and thanks for calling in, bro.
Yeah.
I would assume growing up in Maine probably made you a little tougher than your normal kid, though. Like, helps you deal with things maybe a little more and be more tolerant of things, because you were out in the sticks and you didn't have it as easy, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like getting physical fights sometimes, things like that.
Right.
And you know, especially like when we started skating, like the Hicks were super proud of themselves, because one time they took our ramp and threw it off one of the bridges into the ocean or whatever.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like they do shit like that, and just like, but we, you know, we did our own shit too.
Uh-huh. We got another caller. This is our first female caller ever. Let's go to the lines.
Hi. Do your friends at the station ever take the rig out on a Saturday night cruising, trying to pick up women?
Whoa. That's a random question. No.
We can't speak on that. What happens at the fire station stays at the fire station. Rule number one. Hold on. We got another call. That looks like it could be Rob Welsh.
Schmitty. Collinson, what's up, guys? How's it going? First time caller. Rob, you got to tell that story about that time at Wallenberg. You know the one. All right, man. Have fun with us. I'll talk to you.
One time, Jay Marsh and I were at Wallenberg, and a whole gang of kids, like, ganged up on us, stole our board, da-da-da, whatever. Like, my board, basically, and my bus pass got stolen. But then I remember one person from the crew. And then, so for years, I'd just fight the dude every time I saw him.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not even going to mention his name. He's still kind of, I think he might be still around. But I probably attacked him probably at least five times after, like throughout the years.
Holy
every time
shit.
I saw him. Because he was with a whole crew of dudes. Like, there was probably like eight of them. And it was just us two. And they ripped us off or whatever. I remembered one dude out of the whole crew. And then every time I saw him, I'd fight him.
Did he have initials RD?
No, it wasn't RD.
Oh.
But yeah, I remember the first time I was on the Muni bus, and I saw him in the back, and he was by himself, and I just like got so heated. And
he know why you were doing it?
Oh, he knew for sure. He played off like he didn't know, but he knew. But then I attacked him on the Muni bus, and I remember the Muni driver freaking out like, "Yeah, guys, can't be doing it." I was like, "Oh yeah, it was." It's pretty funny, but yeah. And then after a while, you know, I had to just be like, you know what, dude, I don't care anymore. Like, I just talked to him. I was like, I don't care anymore. Like, I think I've gotten you back enough. You know, like, I'm just gonna let it ride. Like, no, you're younger back then, and you're stupid. Like, you know, I got my licks on you too. So
yeah,
we're good now.
Sucker. Text message from Matt O'Brien, and he wants to know why Leonard Cohen.
I grew up, my father listened to Leonard Cohen all the time, and I don't know, I really liked Leonard Cohen. I'd seen him like three times before he died in a concert.
Sick. Yeah, I never got to see him.
Huge, huge Leonard Cohen fan.
What's top songs?
Top songs. Suzanne's good. Avalanche is good. Sisters of Mercy. A lot of his older stuff. Some of his newer stuff is whatever, but but like the older stuff is where it's at.
Right. Suzanne always reminded me of that song MacArthur's Park. It's like MacArthur's Park is melting in the dark. It kind of
That's
what I mean. That kind of same vibe.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I was gonna bring this up too, because you were talking about fighting. I don't know if you remember this, but I'm not much of a fighter, but there was a time at Skater of the Year party where I actually fucking got into a fight, and I was like, "Hey, Rob, go over there, set up with your camera, and I'm going to take this fucker out."
That's right.
Do you remember that?
I do.
I think you lost your camera.
I did. I lost my camera that night at Skater of the Year. That was awesome. That was so rad. And I probably got some of the sickest photos. And then, like, so that party was super wild. And I remember I lost my camera that night. And I was, for the record, I'm not much of a fighter either. I mean, especially nowadays. Right. And most anytime I ever fight is always in self-defense or if someone's wronging me in some way.
Yeah.
I'm not like a person who starts fights and shit. Like, I'm
a lover, not a fighter, like Andy Roy.
Yeah, like Andy Roy, yeah.
What advice would you give to someone that's thinking about getting married?
Oh, this question. Yeah, so don't ever change who you are. Be yourself. If that person wants you to change, then that person's not for you. Give each other space. Space is a good thing. And then make sure you can deal with each other's bullshit, because everybody's got bullshit. Me, you, and everybody else.
Oh, yeah. Your shit stinks just like mine.
Yep. So anyways, yeah. So that I guess that would be it.
Okay. We're sitting here in your man cave, and there is a lot of rad shit up here. One of my favorites is this big blown-up photo of Halsey and Katie Knox holding guns. I think it's a Josie shot, maybe?
Yeah, Josie. I guess her last name's Perez. It used to be Josie Ramonetta, but yeah, I think that was from one of her shows, like one of her beer spit zine shows or something. And then I was like, hey, I just asked her if I could have that photo, or maybe she just gave it to me. I can't remember. But yeah, I love that one.
Basically, two of my favorite girls back then that we used to hang out with on the regs.
They both have a child now, too, which is crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. But what I was getting at is, out of all this stuff, is there one thing that's kind of your prize in here? Out of all these boards and like one?
There's definitely stuff that I care about more than other stuff. I mean, that's one of my Black Knight boards from when we were kids.
Yeah, that's rad, actually.
Yeah, that's actually one of the boards that was...
Take a photo of that.
That was actually one of the boards that was under the Christmas tree.
No way.
Yeah, I have two of them.
Wait, is this actually it, or there's a copy of it?
No, that's actually the board from Christmas.
Oh, that rules. There's the answer then.
Yeah, so that's probably like 1978, and somehow like I've kept it all. And there's one more too, and it was my brother Ronnie's, because you can see faded on it. It says Ron on it,
mm-hmm.
and where he wrote it with marker or crayon or something. But that Jason Jesse Power Edge, that's from when I was a kid.
Rad.
That right behind your head. And I have the first issue, number one, of Power Edge on the wall over there. And that's from when I was a kid.
That was going a cool to Mr. Mag. Paper.
Yeah. I never had a subscription to Power Edge. I want to say I had a subscription to Thrasher and Transworld.
Maine?
Yeah. But nice. But I used to go to Mr. Paper. Mr. Paperback was like an hour from my house. But when we'd go there, I'd always like fiend on getting every single skate mag I could.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was pretty stoked. I remember the first time I saw that Power Edge, the yellow one there was, I remember tripping out like, whoa, a new skate mag. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Cause we didn't have internet back then or anything. So I didn't know what was going on in skateboarding other than what I saw in the magazines or on VHS videos.
For sure. For all the traveling you've done, what is like one of your favorite trips that stands out? Like, whether it be where you went or the crew you went with or just like something that made it radder than it stands out to you.
Yeah. I want to say like we've been doing a trip out to New Mexico every year, and those ones are really pretty rad because like we end up like camping out like in high up in the pretty high elevation in Arizona by Flagstaff usually. And like, it's kind of cold. So you kind of like, you know, yeah, I don't know. And then you dip down and get into Albuquerque and you go skate all those rad spots. And then like,
yeah.
And then a bunch of people come down from like Denver and all over. It's called the big meetup. But, and then all those trips have been always really fun. Anyone's where you're like with dudes that you know aren't going to whine or cry on the road and people are just down for the mission. I don't know if there's any, I mean, the first time I drove out to California was when I was 17. That was probably like one of my most memorable times, because that was my first big trip. My father let me drive out with my friends when I was in between junior and senior year to California. I had like $300 to my name, and we jumped in my buddy's like Chevy Colt. It's actually a little two door. Laban flew out, and then Eli, me, and Laban, and my buddy Carl drove out here, and I got to skate like the Blockhead ramp and
Palo
Alto when it first opened.
Oh, Greer?
1991.
Nice.
Yeah. 1991 was a year. And then we skated China Banks.
Sick.
Ajax lived here in SF on a house. His dad lived on a houseboat in the canal down by where Pac Bell Park is.
Oh.
But before Pac Bell Park was there, obviously.
And Drehobel lived with him for a minute or something.
He probably did, but not at that time.
Okay, because Drehobel told me he lived on that in a houseboat out there. I was like, what?
Yeah, his dad did. And then so we stayed on that houseboat with Ajax for like a couple days. And then we skated the egg pool. I don't know if you ever skated that bowl. It was like in Concord
Pleasant
or something.
Hill?
Yeah, probably was in Pleasant Hill.
That thing ruled.
Yeah, we skated that. It kind of sucked. I hurt my ankle right before we left, but it was still like so much fun. We skated Magic Skate Park.
Damn.
Reading. We skated so much good shit. It was insane.
How long did it take you to get out here? How many days?
I can't remember, but like I remember we didn't have enough money to like get motels or anything.
Oh.
So we just stayed with like relatives. And then like I remember I brought a tent and I didn't check it before I left and the tent didn't have any poles.
Oh.
I remember like being in Alabama or somewhere and we were at a rest stop and I was like I put the tent out, but like crawled inside of it, and then woke up like 2 hours later with it like sticking to my face from being like sweaty and shit.
Oh my god!
We slept at the Grand Canyon. We slept pretty epic places.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah.
Got a couple more, just two more questions, and then we'll get out of here. We got the big football game about to start. Patriots are playing, and Rob Welsh is coming over. Do you ever get nervous watching the Patriots with Rob Welsh? Because if they lose, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, he might explode. I don't know what he's going to do, dude. I don't know. I don't know if I've been around him too much with like a game on the, like as big as this with the Patriots.
Whew, he'll probably bring the flag over.
Oh, he already asked me if I have any Patriots clothes. I was like, no, but I guess I could get some.
Oh, sick. Do you got a rad? I hate using the word rad every second. Hold on. Rewind. Do you have any cool story that you would want to share with us about your experience with Mr. Preston Mygetter?
Shit. We went on a lot of good little trips, and he was just always down for missions. And he was the best because, like, I never understood of how he functioned the way he did. He'd just, like, you'd be on a trip, and then, like, you'd be kind of halfway asleep or awake, and then I'll hear you. You hear the beer can crack. You're like, how the fuck does this guy drink all day fucking film? And then like, he's still able to get on his board and like fucking kill it too, you know?
Yeah. The thing, he taught me so many things. One of the things that I appreciate the most though, is that he taught me how to appreciate the small things to a great degree. Like how just a beer crack would fucking brighten his day. You know, like he got you. Like, hey, Rob, you'd be like, what? Sicka! Yeah. And you'd be so hyped and you'd be like, god damn it.
Yeah. He was fucking hilarious.
The best.
Yeah. It was fun. It was fun being on the road with him and or just being around him.
But we'll end it now. I just wanted to say maybe if you can give us a little bit of advice handling this PC world as we go into the future. Like, what can we do? How are we going to handle all this insanity?
I would just say be real if you're on the internet or whatever. I guess watch what you say. I don't know. Like, shit. I don't change the way anything I ever do for that stuff. Just be you and don't worry about it and, you know. So
is there any way we can get people to be less sensitive?
People are becoming more sensitive, it seems like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, send them up to Maine for a couple of years. They'll definitely have to become they'll have to, not even Robstock, just have them live there for like 2 years, then they'll have to become less sensitive for sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. I really appreciate this one because we had to do it twice, and that's my bad, but I'm learning on this journey. And I really thank you for taking some time out and catching up. I actually learned a few things about you today that I didn't know, which is rad for me. And if you've made it this far listening, I suggest you hit the subscribe button. And maybe even give me a nice rating, like a 5-star, because I'm a 5-star guy.
10-star.
And listen in next week, because Tim McKenney talks for the first time in years to the public. And that is going to be really fun. This is Talking Schmidt, and we out of here. Till next time. Peace. Thanks, Rob. I'm very lightning in the ground. Listen for a sign of life. Very lightning in the ground.
to change.